Wisdom, let us attend, let us listen to the Holy Gospel. Peace be unto all. When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said to them, Do you believe that I am able to do this? They said to him, Yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, According to your faith, let it be to you. And their eyes were opened. And Jesus sternly warned them, saying, See that no one knows it. But when they had departed, they spread the news about him in all that country. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a man, mute and demon-possessed. And when the demon was cast out, the mute spoke. And the multitudes marveled, saying, It was never seen like this in Israel. But the Pharisees said, He casts out demons by the ruler of demons. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God forever.
The incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ is the mystery of the Word of God becoming flesh and dwelling among us, pitching the temple, or the tent, or the holy temple of His body among us. That's how we could translate the Greek. He Himself dwells personally in the sanctuary, in the Holy of Holies of His body, which is the holy temple of God. That means that He dwells inwardly in the heart, united with the mind of His human nature. Now this Word of God who became flesh and took up His dwelling in the heart of His human nature, as in the sanctuary of His holy temple. This is the one through whom all things were made. He is the Lord, whose years are from age to age. In the beginning, He is the one who laid the foundation of the earth. The heavens are the work of His hands. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the one who is, the one who was, the one who is to come. The Eternal One, who remains, even as the heavens perish and wax old as a garment. This is the One who was incarnate. This is the One who's dwelling in the sanctuary of the heart of the temple of His holy body. This is to say that the One who became flesh, in other words, the One who united Himself to our human nature, such that He came to be a man by nature, such that His form, His schema, His shape was that of a man. He is the eternal God. He is the eternal God who is now a man, who was in the form of God, now is in the form of man. And this is to say that there's now, in these last days, to be found in the Holy of Holies, that is to say, in the sanctuary of the human heart, there is to be found the very person of God the Word Himself. This means that in the incarnation, in the human body, the temple of the God-man, the Word of God become flesh. It means that the mortal is united with the immortal. Time or history is united to the eternal. The outer is united and is made one with the inner. And the inner, the sanctuary or the holy of holies of the human heart, is filled with the glory of God, or rather with the very person of the Lord himself, clothed not with priestly vestments of linen or cotton, but clothed with the uncreated vestments of his eternal and timeless glory. This, says St. Paul, this mystery of Christ incarnate, Christ, God the Lord, dwelling in the heart, the sanctuary of his body, the holy temple. This is the great mystery of God hidden from the ages. The Church in her liturgical texts, giving voice in the Holy Spirit to the Word of God, teaching us and enlightening us, tells us that this is the mystery that was unknown even to the angels, until the glory of the Lord overshadowed the most blessed Virgin, in the same way that he overshadowed the Old Testament temple, both the tent of Moses and the stone temple of Solomon, and so in this way revealed the Theotokos as the holy temple, from whose body as from his throne, from whose womb as from his holy sanctuary, made more spacious than the heavens, the Lord himself came forth in the flesh, found in the form of a man, and existing now in flesh and blood, and so becoming like us in every respect, except that he was without sin. And his seed was not the seed of man, but it was the seed of the Spirit of God. This great mystery of God, in which and for which and by which he made the heavens and the earth, so St. Paul tells us, this mystery of God is within you. And the incarnate Lord himself tells us that his kingdom, in other words, heaven, is within us. Where in us? In the sanctuary, in the Holy of Holies, the temple of your heart, where, as the prophet Jeremiah says, is the real self, your real you, that is deep beyond all things, where you are outside the city, where you are in that place of ecstasis, in the place where we are outside of ourselves, outside of our ego, in the sanctuary of our heart, where the Lord God, by whom all things were created, is found. I go to this length, and even this length is brief. I go to this length to set before you the mystery of the Incarnation, because I wish you to understand in some way how it is that in the Sunday Gospels of these last few weeks since Pentecost, the Church has set before us not so many stories of what happened way back then, but rather in these Gospels of the last few Sundays, the Church is setting before us the mystery of the Church that is present to us always today. The historical event recorded in this morning's Gospel is an event that happened in the earthly life of the Lord God, who became flesh and took up his dwelling in the sanctuary of the human heart. The healing of the two blind men and the man possessed of a mute demon, therefore, was rooted in the timeless eternity of God the Word, in whose timeless eternity this historical event is happening in the Church today, even as it was happening then. Because the same Lord who heals the two blind men and the man possessed of the mute spirit is the same Lord who created the heavens and the earth. And he is the same Lord who is present to us today. As it were, the historical event of the healing of these two blind men and the healing of the man possessed of a mute spirit. You could say that this historical event is the earthly garment that clothes the eternal God. So that even though these earthly events have, as it were, passed away and are no more in their historical setting, the Lord remains. And where does he remain? He remains in the sanctuary, in the Holy of Holies of the human heart. Or let's say that these events are like the curtain of the temple that was torn in two from above to below. In other words, from heaven to hell. When the Lord cried out on the cross, "It is finished." And it says that he gave up the spirit, or you could just as easily translate the Greek to say that he sent forth his spirit into the darkness of death, such that the graves of the saints who had fallen asleep were opened, and they were seen entering the holy city, not the holy city of the earthly Jerusalem, but the holy city of the heavenly Jerusalem. In the glorious mystery of Christ's holy resurrection and ascension. In other words, the exodus of these saints who had fallen asleep was now completed. By the death of the Lord on the cross, their tomb became the Jordan. And in the Lord's resurrection and in his ascension, he led them over the waters of the Jordan and into the promised land and into the heavenly city of Jerusalem, so that their exodus was now completed. It was now finished. They had come into the promised land of their inheritance, which was not the earthly land of Canaan, but it was the heavenly kingdom of the Lord's own city. Dear faithful, to be blind and dumb, unable to see, unable to speak. In the scriptures, these are the symptoms of idolatry. In a number of liturgical texts, blindness is what slavery to the Pharaoh in Egypt is said to be. In this biblical setting of the church, then, the two blind men following the Lord Jesus into the house where the Lord was, as they cried out with a prayer of the heart, "Son of David," in other words, "O Christ our God, have mercy on us," against the light, in the light of this biblical and liturgical setting, they're following the Lord into the house, is seen as the outward historical event, the curtain of the temple that opens onto the gospel's interior exodus into the house of the human heart, and so into the Holy of Holies, into the sanctuary of the temple of the human body, where they find the Lord, and where we would find the Lord too, if we would but follow him into the house where he is, into the heart where he is. It is an interior exodus from darkness to light, these two blind men coming into the house, following the Lord into the house. It's an interior exodus from darkness to light, from blindness to sight, and so from death to life, from bondage to the evil one, in the fear of death to freedom, in the Holy One, in the joy of salvation. And this is what happened to us in our baptism, when we became illumined ones, those whose eyes were opened and illumined so that we could now see the mysteries of God that we had just confessed. Remember, before you're baptized, you're given to say the creed of the church, which sets before us the vision that John the Baptist saw at the Jordan, the vision that the centurion saw when the Lord died on the cross, even perhaps the vision that St. John saw when he came into the tomb and he saw the linen clothes there lying neatly folded apart from the rest. And it says, he believed. And suddenly he understood the scriptures. That's what's given to us in the creed. And with the baptism, our eyes are open so that we see into this mystery that the creed is expressing, the mystery of God, the Word made flesh, and taking up his dwelling in the temple of our body and in the sanctuary of our heart. And I do not see it as happenstance that this morning's lectionary assigns for our reading the healing of a man possessed of a dumb spirit together with the healing of the blind man. Because in the Bible, the mouth is joined to the heart. It gives expression in what it speaks to what is in the heart. And so if one is dumb, if one is unable to speak, it means spiritually that one's heart is dead. And of course, if the heart is dead, it means she is filled with darkness. She can see, as did Adam and Eve. She can see into the darkness. She can see that she is naked, but she cannot see the glory of God, in whose beauty she was originally clothed. And she cannot praise God. In the Greek, the word translated as to praise means to speak in praise of. But if one speaks what is in one's heart, then to speak in praise of God means that the heart is so full of joy and gratitude and love for God that her mouth cannot cease singing his praise. To praise then means to be full of joy. To praise God from the heart means that the heart is filled with the joy that is Christ's own joy. The joy that is his in the glory that he has with the Father from before the world was. And to be filled with the joy that is Christ's own means that the heart is filled with Christ himself. She has passed from death to life, from darkness to light, from bondage to freedom, from blindness to sight, from shame to salvation, from impurity to holiness. And this is the inner essence of the church, this Passover, from death to life, from blindness to sight, darkness to light. This is the essential movement of the church. For the church is the very body of Christ, the fullness of him who is all in all. In the church, in the body of Christ, the body that was crucified and is now risen from the dead and is ascended in glory, sitting at the right hand of God the Father, the heart that was a tomb, the sanctuary of so many idols who were lifeless, who were blind, deaf, dumb, unable to move or to feel, making the heart who loved them to be just like them. In the church, in the body of Christ, the heart that was a tomb has received the Lord in the deepest mystery of his incarnation, in the perfected, consummated expression of his compassion and love for mankind, which is to say that she has received the corpse of his body when he was taken down from the tree and buried in the tomb, so that in his flesh and blood, by which he was like us, he died, and in becoming a corpse, he became one with us. So, dear faithful, when in our baptism we unite ourselves to Christ in the likeness of his death, taking up the cross of the church's ascetic disciplines, and walking in the light as he is in the light, we are entering onto the interior exodus of the gospel. We are following the Lord into the house. In other words, into the tomb of our heart, a tomb because we were dead in our sins and trespasses. But when we receive the corpse of Christ, who has become one with us, into our heart, and when we unite ourselves to him in the likeness of his death, we become one with him. And if we become one with the corpse of Christ buried in our heart, we become one with this body that has risen from the dead and ascended in glory to sit at the right hand of God the Father. And our heart is made into a bridal chamber. The tomb is transfigured into a bridal chamber. The place, the tomb, that was once a place of darkness, loneliness, hopelessness, separated from God, has been filled with God himself. and is now the place of union, of regeneration, resurrection, and glorification in the God who loved us so much that he became one with us by dying for us and becoming dead like we are, so that we could become alive like he is in the mystery of his holy resurrection. We who are blind and dumb, dead in our sins and trespasses because of our idolatry, are illumined in the church if we give ourselves to the church, if we come into the light of the church. You can't be illumined by the church if you stay away from the church. You cannot be illumined if you stay away from the light. You cannot walk in the light if you don't come to the light. The church is the body of Christ. The church is the light of the world that shines in the darkness. And those who live the life of the church, taking up the cross of her ascetic disciplines, are those who are walking in the light as Christ is in the light. And in this light of the church, we now see the true light. Our eyes are opened, and we see with the eyes of our heart the true light. Why? Because we have received the Heavenly Spirit, who makes all things new, who raises from death to life, and our mouth sings the content of our heart, which is Holy Eucharist, gratitude, joy, and love for the Savior. Amen. Most holy Theotokos, save us. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.